Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Shepherd of souls, you call us to an abundant feast at the table of your word. Open our hearts to feed on your goodness, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might dwell evermore deeply in you. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is the 23rd Psalm. Listen to God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Today's second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you have not believed. The work that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, in regard to what he has given me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, please join with me in the spirit of prayer. O good and gracious God, may my words this day be your words, and may these words be planted on our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits, and may they grow and flourish in the way that you will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It was winter in Jerusalem. The people had gathered at the temple to celebrate the festival of dedication. On this Sunday in the Easter season, the lectionary sends us back to the middle of the Gospel of John, before his death and resurrection. Here he is wandering around the temple during a time set apart each year for the Jewish people to remember their shared history and faith. Roughly two centuries before Jesus, the temple had been seized by King Antiochus IV. Jewish practices were outlawed, Sabbath observance was banned, scrolls were burned, and the altar in the temple, once the center of their worship, was now desecrated with other offerings for other gods. And any of the Jews who resisted this were met with violence, imprisonment, and death. This was a bloody and violent war that the Jewish people were experiencing. And finally, there was this group of faithful Jews led by Judah Maccabee who rose up and reclaimed what had been lost. This story is not found in the Old Testament, but is found in the Apocrypha, which some Catholics and Orthodox people also accept as scripture. This story tells of the Maccabees, where they purified the temple, they rebuilt the altar, they relit their menorah, and they rededicated the space to God. And that menorah, which only had enough oil to last for only one day, burned for 8 days. This moment, this act of resistance and restoration, became the story the Jewish people would tell again and again during the festival of dedication. This festival, known today as Hanukkah, was a reminder that even when faith was threatened, God's presence and the people's perseverance would endure. So when Jesus is entering the temple during this festival, this is not just a passing detail in today's story, because the people around him aren't simply curious about who Jesus is. They are there in the middle of a season to remember how easily dignity and humanity can be stripped away, and how much faithfulness it takes to reclaim what is holy. The people ask him, "How long will you keep us in suspense?" Which in the original Greek translates a little bit more closely to, "How long will you keep holding our lives in your hand?" The people are gathering around Jesus and they ask him if he is the Messiah. But they're not seeking a title as much as they are seeking a promise. They want to know whether he is the one who will finally see them and protect them and restore what has been lost. And Jesus, being Jesus, answers them like this. He does not answer so plainly like they request, but instead he answers the question, "Are you the Messiah?" He says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." In the Jewish tradition, shepherding was a symbol of kingship. King David was literally called from tending sheep to rule over Israel. In 2 Samuel, we hear God's words, "You shall shepherd my people Israel." This shepherd, this king, knows who the sheep are or knows his people, leads them gently, protects them from harm, and brings them home together in community. But then Israel's leaders didn't always live up to that calling, and that's why the prophet Ezekiel condemned the false shepherds who abused their power and left the people scattered and vulnerable. And so out of that comes a promise from God through Ezekiel. God says, "I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out." Jesus is now picking up on this language and speaks as that shepherd, one who knows the sheep and whose voice they recognize. He is stepping into that understanding, that prophetic voice, that promise. When leadership has failed, Jesus will not. And when others have scattered, Jesus will gather them in. And when the world has treated them as disposable, Jesus will claim them as otherwise. That's the shepherd Jesus is. And then Jesus makes another promise to the Jewish listeners during this festival. Jesus says to them, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." For us as Christians today, we might understand this eternal life as the promise of what happens after death. But in Jesus's time, for this Jewish audience, that's not the way they understood what Jesus was saying. His listeners, first century Jews living under Roman occupation, weren't thinking about a place beyond this earthly life that we might now refer to as heaven. They were thinking about liberation, restoration, and the long-awaited arrival of God's kingdom right there, right then. Eternal life wasn't about leaving the earth, but more so about seeing the world made right once again. Jesus knowing us, Jesus knowing the sheep, is the beginning of this eternal life. Nor rules or status or perfection, but simply recognition and intimacy and belonging. For people who had been pushed to the margins, people who were oppressed by the empire, for people wondering whether God was still with them or saw them, this promise meant everything. To say that no one will snatch them out of Jesus's hand wasn't just comforting. It was also defiant, because it meant that no ruler, no oppressor, no religious gatekeeper had the final say. If they belonged to the shepherd, they were safe and they were secure. And that's still true. Eternal life isn't something that we get just after death. It's the life we begin to live when we trust that voice calls us by name. It's the life in the presence of a shepherd who gathers us, holds us, and never lets us go. We see this all the time. And in fact, I have a story. Just last Saturday, our presbytery saw this. Our regional body of churches that witnessed this. As part of a denominational-wide vote, our presbytery joined many other presbyteries across the country in voting to approve an amendment to the Book of Order that adds sexual orientation and gender identity to the list of identities protected from discrimination in the life of the church. And our presbytery was not alone. In fact, a majority of presbyteries have already voted in favor of this change, which means that this amendment will officially be added to our denomination's Book of Order at next summer's General Assembly. And it may look on a surface level like this is just some minor decision that only affects some people. But it's more than that. It's a witness. It's a visible sign of what the church, what it means for the church to listen for the voice of God and then to respond faithfully to that voice. At a time where LGBTQIA plus people are being singled out in harmful and dehumanizing ways through legislation, rhetoric, and fear, here God's church is saying something different. And that message matters not just to the LGBTQIA plus community, but for everyone who has ever wondered if they belong to God. Everyone who has ever questioned whether they have a place in God's church. Everyone who has hoped that God's love might run deeper than we once upon a time were initially taught. In our tradition, we trust that the will of God is discerned through the prayerful gathered life of God's church. And so when presbyteries across the country make decisions, and when those decisions are in the majority with one another, we are bearing witness to the Spirit still at work. We are leaning into the promise that eternal life is not reserved just for the future, but something that we can live into right now. And it's one thing to believe that resurrection is possible for the world, and it's another thing to believe that resurrection is possible for you. That you, in whatever valley you're walking through, whatever grief or uncertainty you carry, whatever ache still feels unanswered,
You are still being held by your shepherd. Nothing will ever remove us from God's grasp. Not doubt, not exhaustion, not fear, not failure, not grief, nothing. And even if we don't always feel that, I know that there are some days where it is hard to hear the shepherd's voice. There are seasons where we feel like we're wandering and that we're lost, not sure of what's next or whether goodness and mercy will follow. But that's okay, because Jesus doesn't wait for our understanding before claiming us into this eternal life. Jesus doesn't wait for us to figure it all out before offering this eternal life. This promise rests not on how much we can hold on to Jesus, but on how firmly Jesus refuses to let us go. The shepherd who gathers the flock or the church is the same shepherd who gathers you. The same voice that calls community into belonging is the voice that still calls your name when you need to know that you too are part of God's kingdom. The same hand that holds the community in love is the hand that holds you when everything feels uncertain. Eternal life is not the absence of pain. It's the presence of God in the midst of it. It's the promise that even now, resurrection is unfolding in you. You are not forgotten. You are not outside of grace. You are not too far gone, too lost, or too late. Because you are known. And the shepherd who claims, gathers, provides, protects, and holds is still there. It's easy to think of resurrection as a single dazzling moment, like the stone rolled away, an empty tomb, or a sudden flood of joy after so much pain. And it is. We know this. This is what we celebrate every year. And resurrection also looks more subtle than that. It looks like acts of faithfulness and courage. It looks like inclusion with compassion and care. It looks like a room where everyone feels seen and valued. And it looks like a table that's been set for someone who thought they'd never have been even invited. Sometimes resurrection looks like being reminded that you are still held, that your life is not a mistake. That even when you feel forgotten or afraid or filled with regret, there is a shepherd who knows you through all of it, and a shepherd who has claimed you, and a shepherd who will never let you go. Not just that there is life after death, but that there is eternal life right here, right now, in this messy and beautiful and complicated life. And so wherever any of us find ourselves today, whether you feel close to God, the shepherd, or whether you feel far away, whether you are walking through those luscious green pastures or whether through the darkest of valleys, know this, you are known, you are loved, and you are already being gathered into the promise of the resurrection. This promise is not far off, not something that comes later. It's unfolding right here, right now. And no one, no thing, no injustice will ever take that from you, from any of God's people. Nothing will remove you from God's tender care. In a time where it feels like dignity and humanity can be stripped away so easily, Christ, our shepherd, gives us the hope and the promise that here in God's church, it is different. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.